Ever wonder if there's more to the movies you love? Do you like to ponder how they got from A to Z? Who chose the plot twists? Why use those characters? Is there a deeper meaning? We're here to explore those questions and maybe learn a bit along the way. VGB Studios proudly presents The Filmlosophers.
Hello and welcome to another exciting episode of The Filmlosophers, the show that gets into the movies you love and digs a little deeper. Why are you laughing over there?
Because I'm so used to doing a trailer that I was shocked when you just start talking.
I am your host, Eddie Villanueva, and alongside me, as always, is germ-free Spencer Williams.
For now.
Don't say that. Corey won't let us back into the studio if you say that. Oh, it has been an interesting last couple of weeks.
Interesting. I'm ready for the most boringest time in humanity to begin, like, in the next month, because it needs to.
Yeah, I know what you're saying, and yes, I agree, but at the same time, I have not had as much time as I've had lately to catch up on all the movies that I've wanted to see. And I'm kind of just happy about that.
Okay, wait, no. Like, that's an insane thing to say. Yes, there's a threat of death, but I get so much time to watch movies.
I mean, not to Vanessa Hudgens this thing, I mean...
That's the only reason you told me that, so I'd have a context for that joke, isn't it? That's a long con. He told me the whole Vanessa Hudgens thing's like 30 minutes ago.
And, I mean, it's still relevant even till now.
Oh, my gosh.
We got a great show in stores. We're going to be talking about something that is actually in the homes of several millions of people around the world. And that is not the coronavirus. We're talking about streaming platforms, whether if it's Netflix, Hulu, whether or not if you got Disney Plus, if you've got Amazon. We wanted to talk a little bit about the things that we here are looking forward to catching up on, or at least have been watching, because let's be honest, we are currently in a state of oddness when it comes to the nature of the health of the world, and we're kind of quarantined to our significant places where we live. So, with that, you know, we're going to be talking a little bit about the things that we're looking forward to getting a chance to watch, stream, some of the things that we have seen or watched, and just kind of give you some suggestions on what you should watch, right?
Yeah.
So we're going to dive into that, but before we do, Spence, don't you got to tell them something?
Yeah, so each and every Wednesday, you should turn to your favorite streaming platform and our website, filmlosophers.com.
Your favorite podcast streaming platform.
Whatever. Like, most of them do both, like, because, like, I have Google Play Music, and it does music and podcasts, which is really weird, so you can do both, kinda, and some of them.
Android users.
Yeah, whatever. We're cool like that. So, you can also connect with us on our social pages at facebook.com/filmlosopher, and on Twitter and Instagram at filmlosophy101.
That's right. You can also catch all 200-plus episodes on our website at filmlosophers.com. We've got a lot to listen to, so if you got some downtime, and don't lie, we know you do, head on over to our website where you can catch all of our episodes, new and old, and listen in. Let us know what you thought. Or you think, currently, on our websites and on our pages all over the place, and just talk to us here. Because aside from being in the studio, which is heavily sanitized and cleaned before we come in and when we leave, me and Spence, we essentially just go home to our respective places and we're just there. So talk to us, please.
Someone. I'm going crazy. It's only been like 5 days. I'm not going to go in this quarantine very well. I'm over it already.
But speaking of quarantine and speaking of the coronavirus, we're going to be talking about something tonight that's a little akin to the situation that we're currently in right now, and that is everybody right now is under the advisement of the government to stay sheltered in. It's called a shelter in. And if you're privy to any TikTok video trend or even watched a recent episode of John Oliver.
That's the only reason I know it.
What you're listening to right now currently is the Filipino song that became famous about washing your hands. It's the washing hands song. So
it's kind of a really smart idea on their part.
It's a great idea. If you're looking to do something... Corona.
Oh, my gosh.
But, yeah, we're going to be talking about some of the things that we've been watching and streaming and some of the things that we're looking forward to in terms of, you know, on all the streaming platforms. I know there's a lot of things that are being discussed and there's a lot of things that are being talked about in terms of being released on streaming platforms, on digital. And there's just a lot of things that we want to kind of talk about because we know that there's only so much you're familiar with in terms of in your streaming platforms on Netflix, on Hulu, on Amazon. So we want to just offer some of our suggestions, right?
Yeah.
So call this what you will. We haven't figured out a name for this bad boy because we're literally winging it as I open my little container of hand sanitizer and just really quick wipe down my hands. The song got me thinking about washing my hands.
This song just reminded me, don't touch your face. I realize I do that so much unconsciously.
You do. Subconsciously, you do.
Whatever.
Because if you're unconscious and you're touching your face...
I could be doing it on sleep. Like,
it's the ghost.
Whatever.
Corona. Corona. Okay, so... yeah. Like we said, we're just going to be talking a little bit.
We're just going to be a hot mess today.
I mean, mind you, we're just... Here's the thing. Here's the situation we are in currently. All the movie theaters are closed.
Yeah, it's not a problem for a movie podcast at all.
No, not at all. You know.
Oh, also, just throwing this out there just for everyone. We are totally not going to pay $20 to rent a movie.
Oh, heck no,
that is the most ridiculous thing I've seen in a while.
It was first MoviePass. And then MoviePass got ridiculous, and I'm like, I'm not paying that. And then Cinemark, you got me onto the Cinemark one, mm-hmm. and I bought that, and a month later, it was no good anymore. And now they're telling me I have to pay $20 to see a movie that I was getting to see at $9.99 thanks to Cinemark. What kind of malarkey is this?
Hashtag not spawn.
There is no movie on digital right now that is worth the $20 mark that is still currently in theaters. I'm currently on my Vudu and my Vudu account, and I'm looking at what is currently available. I don't want to see Bloodshot. I just saw that last week. We literally talked about that last week.
We got to see it for a discount, but if you'd like to pay more than twice what we did, you can totally do that
and
on
I
Vudu.
Still felt like I got robbed in that movie.
I know, that's just $5.
Less than 211, if you don't know, now you know. that was not a reference to Notorious B.I.G.
Sure wasn't. I caught that.
Onward, okay. I admit, I actually bought Onward because I wanted to see it before it went on streaming.
You wanted to see it 2 weeks earlier than everyone else? Oh, my gosh. You saw it last month. You couldn't wait 2 weeks.
I couldn't. I was on such a... Well, so we'll talk about that. I ended up getting it. But I'm not getting The Way Back with Ben Affleck. I'm not getting The Invisible Man. I'm not getting The Hunt. I'm not getting Emma. There's no way in the world I'm paying $20 for any of those movies. We are in... I don't know if like Hollywood saw this coming and was like, we're only going to release the sucky movies at this time. We're not saying why, but we're going to release these movies.
Okay, like... That voice had just a hint of Donald Trump in it, and it was really weird. But otherwise...
These movies are going to be huge. We're going to put them out during the virus. Everybody's going to want to get out of their house. It's going to be great. Huge. Best money maker ever.
Just stop.
Also, the fact that Dr. Doolittle... Or Doolittle, whatever it is being publicized as like, oh, you need to see this. That is not a good movie.
It's only because those are your only options. Where else are you going to go?
I am stuck at home. What do you expect me to do?
Now that you have no choice, I bet you won't watch Doolittle, don't you?
Oh, heck no, Techno. Like, I wouldn't even be willing to drop a drug and watch Cats. Like, I am good. There is no amount of, like, you know, otherly, you know, otherly encouraged trip that would make me even consider, well, I'm not myself right now. Let me watch this horrible movie. I respect myself more than that.
Oh.
Plain and simple.
Okay.
So, starting this whole thing off, I guess I've already talked about it, so I might as well. I recently saw Onward again. I streamed Onward because of the fact that I was over a friend's house, and I ended up buying it because their daughter hadn't seen it. And mind you, yes, it's going to come out on the 3rd on Disney Plus. Yes. And yes, I have Disney Plus.
Right.
But it's Onward, and it's like it's 2 weeks early, and when you're just sitting there, and I don't, you know what, to be honest, I don't even know how much I paid for it. If I paid $20, oh well. But
no, you paid $20.
You know what?
That's what it was advertised as.
But that was one of those movies that I streamed. I'm not going to get into the review of that because we already talked about that in Lesson 210.
Yes, I don't remember you being so enamored with it you'd pay $20.
Well, I wanted to have it. I wanted to own it already. So that was not, you know, that was neither here nor there.
Okay.
But that was just something that I watched. I don't want to get into like the review of that. But what I have actually recently streamed, while, you know, during this wonderful time under quarantine, oddly enough, I actually saw. I almost said, never mind. I actually re-saw the movie Knives Out.
Ah, I was about to talk about that too.
Yeah. So I get, I've been on this kick lately of murder mysteries and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
And because of Knives Out, I've seen a few Agatha Christie films and episodic things on Amazon. Amazon apparently seems to be the really big fan of Agatha Christie because they got like Amazon specials, Amazon exclusives for Agatha Christie. I'm like, did Agatha Christie have like stock in Amazon or something? Because like
Agatha Christie has a very well known estate and they know where to put their places.
Well, yeah, because all I need to do is if I need an Agatha Christie fix, I'll go and check out Amazon Prime. But yeah, I saw Knives Out again, and I just have to say, this has to be one of the most funnest movies that has to do with murder and you know, criminal activity and inept police work.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this has to be one of those movies that if it was done wrong, I honestly would have been frustrated with it. Like if it was completely done out of pace, out of a really bad storytelling, if it was done really ridiculously and without any kind of, you know, professionalism behind it or genius writing or cinematography, I honestly would have found myself frustrated with it because the main characters and everybody who's the family is just this pretentious family, group of white people, not being racist, just saying they're all white. This family who's very pretentious, and if those people did not act with great direction, it could have come off just like annoying.
Mm-hmm.
Because I'm gonna kind of lay it out here. I'm not a big fan of Michael Shannon. Michael okay. Shannon, maybe
I will find him.
Yeah. Aside from Man of Steel, I don't really think I've ever enjoyed a movie with him that much in it. Like he just has this demeanor, like on the sly. He's plotting to steal your fillings. Like I feel like he's trying to.
What?
He looks like the type of person, like his whole face and the way he looks sometimes, like he's got.
I know what he looks like.
He's got like very interesting. He's got a very interesting resting face. Like, I don't know what better. Look at that. Look at that mug. That person here wants to steal my fillings. Like, he's like, I could probably get like $10 for the silver. And, you know, I don't know.
He's not a deranged homeless.
How do you know?
Well, that's how you're selling
it. He said, I will find you. So, I mean, who knows what that means.
That was Zod, and that was about a child.
Spencer, tell me. Tell me what that looks like there. Look at that. Yeah.
Okay, maybe he's just not photogenic. You know, most of us aren't.
You know, it's always the ones that defend them that end up getting hurt first. But I'm not a big fan of Michael Shannon.
I don't like that comment at all. Just throwing that out there.
In pertaining to this situation.
Yeah, so he's going to steal my fillings.
Yeah, he's going to take your fillings. He's going to melt them down. He's going to make himself a little silver coin, and he's going to flip it in front of you.
This is what the corona quarantine has done to us, Eddie. This has got to stop.
Moving on, I'm not a big fan of Michael Shannon. However, I love the way they portray him in this film. It's not like his acting ability is not washed over or even toned down because he's somebody who has a cane and he's like almost second fiddle to like Don Johnson in this film. I really feel like Michael Shannon truly shines in this film and I enjoy it like to the fullest. It's such a unique film that you can't really watch it and not be impressed. Who was it? GQ or Variety? Or Esquire? There was a YouTube channel that does like these breakdowns of unique scenes, and Rian Johnson was on it recently. And I think I told you, actually, I think you said you watched it, with Rian Johnson, and they were doing like the art of the scene, you know?
Nope, that doesn't sound like one.
Okay, it was Vanity Fair. He breaks down a scene from Knives Out, and essentially he goes through the whole scene of when, you know, the family realizes that Ranson is not going to be getting any money from the inheritance. And he breaks it down to you as you're listening, and it's like, man, this guy sounds like he's really legitimately having fun doing his job. And he also dropped a huge bomb in the circles of people who do films that have a main antagonist and, you know, in an ensemble cast. And he was like, I don't know if I should say this, but I'm just going to say it. And he was saying that apparently Hollywood has a deal with Apple where...
Oh, this.
Yeah, where apparently in the deal, the bad guys are not allowed to have Apple phones. They can show the screen of the phone. You can actually show like the layout and the iOS of how the phone looks, but the bad guys cannot have an Apple phone.
Yeah, that's Apple for you.
And that's so unique because, like, you know, the true cinephiles out there are like, what? And they started combing through all the older films and be like, I need to find out how many times this is proved true and blah, blah, blah. You know, mind you, I didn't. Now I got time to do it, but, you know, before I didn't have time to do it.
No, when I heard that, I was like, of course.
Yeah.
I'm not the biggest Apple fan.
No, but I mean, not everybody can be smart. So,
no, this is not about being smart. Do not drag me into a tech conversation right now, Eddie. I will not have it.
But speaking of you and tech conversation, what's something that you've recently streamed?
Oh, wait, no, I want to talk about Knives Out for a second. Okay, back up a little more. For some reason, Netflix was like, hey, you remember we still have a DVD service? And I'm like, yeah. They're like, do you want a free month trial? It's like, I already had this like 10 years ago. It's like, do you want a free month? And I'm like, all right, I'll take it.
Like, you have to pay for the DVD one?
What are you talking about? Of course you have to pay for that. The DVD service that they still have? You still have to pay for that, but they gave me a free month.
Netflix does this? I know they've done the. I know. What? I know they do the DVD thing.
Right.
I'm saying, though, I didn't know it was like separate to like what you're already paying
for. I'm sorry. Did you not hear about that whole Quickster fiasco?
I remember Quickster.
Yeah. Well, they still kind of did that. Like, they just didn't go all the way like they were planning. Like, they just carved out DVDs and put it over there in its own little side of DVD.netflix.com.
Well, you know, they burn their own DVDs.
Oh. Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah. That way they're not, like, main copies of the actual film that people are getting. They're just movies. They're just generic title screens with just the movies and the language option. You didn't know that?
I did not.
Well, there you go.
Well...
And knowing is half the battle.
That's slightly worse if you want, like, the extras that come with those discs.
They don't come with it.
Anyway.
Anywho.
The Knives Out.
So you traveled back in time to 1999. You got yourself a Netflix rental. Had to wait for shipping when you could have walked down to the red box and gotten one.
I'm not going to touch a red box in this corona economy.
Oh, but you're going to go and find the people who don't have the capability of streaming to hear all the information so that they can get you the their hands-on copy of the film that you're looking
but at. But I can just like knock it out the mailbox and then squirt it with some Lifesaw, and then I'm fine.
Yeah, sure. I mean, hey.
I can't bring Lysol to a Safeway. It looks weird.
Are you kidding? Have you seen what it looks like out there? I don't think that's the weirdest thing you're going to see.
Anyway, yeah, no. Back when it was released in November, a really cool thing they did was they released the director's commentary audio track for for Knives Out.
Really?
Yeah. So, like, you could go into the phone and they're like, be responsible with it. And you could go with your phone and listen to, like, the director's commentary track if you had it with you. So.
I'm sorry, what? They could do what?
Yeah, they released the director's commentary track for Knives Out while it was in theaters so that you could, in theory, go to the theater and just listen to that while you're watching the movie.
Why did you never say anything?
I thought you knew. When it comes to movie things, I just assume you know.
Well, when you assume, yeah, you know what you know. Oh my gosh.
Eddie, you normally tell me things. This is not how this normally works.
Well, this is a partnership, man.
I don't know. I'm
turned into Scooby-Doo there. Right? Okay, so yeah, missing out on a great opportunity. Thanks, but continue. Go ahead.
All right, whatever. So the whole point I'm trying to say is I wanted to watch Knives Out with the director's commentary.
Uh-huh.
So I signed up for DVDs at Netflix. Apparently, well, that was pointless because you don't get that one. But I still have the file, so I'm planning to soon watch Knives Out with the director commentary. That was the whole thing.
The whole thing for that conversation, yes, was just...
Just such a long tangent.
It really was, and I'm still upset at you.
Okay, well, but, anyway. Anyway, I'm on the two-disc plan, so I get a second disc. One of them signs out. The other one is...
I love how you're so proud of yourself with this. It's like, so, I get two of them.
The other one is Kubo and the Two Strings. This is a movie I went to see that I fell asleep during.
Kubo and the Two Strings?
Yeah.
Why'd you fall asleep in that? Oh, okay.
I was tired.
Sure. Yeah, you know, I think for you, so Spencer has this thing about going to the movies, going to a specific theater, specifically the one that's near our house, because we live close to each other. So he doesn't like going to the theater that's near our house because it's uncomfortable for him because I don't know if many of you are aware of this, but Spencer is tall.
Okay, so here's the thing about this theater for me. I understand it's not this for everyone. My knees, like, are shoved into the seat in front of me. And so for the whole film, no matter how I sit, I'm just, my knees are, like, right next to that seat. And if someone leans back, they're hitting it constantly. It's just, it makes me feel old when I go there because when I stand up finally, my knees are just hurting. It makes me feel old and like I'm going to lose them soon. And I don't like being reminded of that and my own mortality. So I don't like going there.
At some point in time in life, are you planning for your legs to just fall off?
Might. I don't know. You can never
How long have you been alive and expected this to happen?
I don't know.
Spencer, who hurt you? I mean...
Life. Corona.
All right. Well... You've already broken my heart with the director's commentary. So what movie or streaming thing, what have you been streaming lately?
just talking about Kubo and Two Strings is the thing I was going to say next.
What?
Kubo and the Two Strings.
I didn't know if you actually got it or you're still waiting for the shipping time on that, like,
no,
5 to 7 business days.
I just haven't watched it yet.
Okay, so you haven't seen it.
Yes.
So
I thought we were talking about things we were going to see.
Yeah. No, Kubo and the Two Strings, sure, whatever.
Oh my God.
Kubo and the Two Strings is a really great one. It's got a really great ensemble cast. I don't know if you've ever seen any of, what's his name?
I'm talking about like those other three movies that go along with this, kind of, which are like Coraline and...
Well, yeah, it's a Laika film, so... Yeah, yeah. Kubo and the Two Strings is that it actually has like people like Matthew McConaughey in it, Charlize Theron, George Takei, Rooney Mara, Ralph Fiennes. Great list of casts. You know, Kubo being played by Art Pattinson. If you don't know who Art Pattinson is, he's the one who was in San Andreas. He was in the Dracula Untold movie. He's been in a couple different things here and there. He was in Game of Thrones. He played one of the Stark boys.
No, you just actually, because you said the name Raphael Fiennes, you just reminded me of a movie I definitely need to watch during this. It's, have you ever seen, oh, what was it called? I need to look up the name.
Are we talking animated or live action?
It's a live action movie. I own it.
In Bruges?
No, it's the one about the hotel, the Grand Hotel.
Oh, Grand Budapest Hotel.
Grand Budapest Hotel!
Wes Anderson.
I love that movie. That movie was so good. Like, have you seen that one?
I have. I have seen it.
I have. No follow-up. No, it's...
Well, this is your statement here. I'm not going to step on your moment.
You do that often. Oh, no, it's a, it's a great movie. It has Raphael Fiennes, and then it has Tony Revolli from Spider-Man.
Mm-hmm.
He plays Flash Thompson. No, like, they're the two main leads of this movie, and it's an amazing movie of just this. It's like a story in a story, if I'm remembering correctly. Where
a writer encounters the owner of an aging high-class hotel who tells him of his early years serving as a lobby boy in the hotel's glorious years under an exceptional concierge.
Yeah, but, yeah, yeah.
I mean, at the basic core of it.
Yeah, that's basically the movie.
But it has a great... Great, great cast between Ralph Fiennes, F. Murray Abraham, Adrian Brody, Willem Dafoe, Jeff Goldblum, Harvey Keitel, Jude Law, Bill Murray, Edward Norton, Saoirse Ronan, Jason Schwartzman, Lea Sado, Tilda Swinton, Tom Wilkinson, and what was the name of the guy from Spider-Man?
Oh, Tony Revolori.
Yes.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah, and this is one of those great and exceptional films that you always expect from Wes Anderson. Wes Anderson is honestly a unique and complete genius in what he does and how he does it. He's also the man who did Fantastic Mr. Fox, Royal Tenenbaums, Isle of Dogs, Moonrise Kingdom.
See, I didn't like Moonrise Kingdom that much.
You know, I haven't really seen Moonrise Kingdom, but did you not like it?
Yeah, I was like, okay about it. But I did want to see Isle of Dogs. I didn't get a chance to.
You haven't seen Isle of Dogs?
No, I really wanted to.
Rushmore, he did Rushmore, The Life Aquatic with Steven Zissou. Fantastic Mr. Fox is one of my favorites. Isle of Dogs is one of my favorites. Having Bryan Cranston be the voice of like the scruffy and like fighting dog makes perfect sense. And then he's also the director and writer of the more recent film that, God willing, gets released this year. I'm hoping it gets released this year. The French Dispatch.
Oh,
my gosh. It looks absolutely incredible. Elizabeth Moss, Timothy Chalamet, Saoirse Ronan, Edward Norton, Tilda Swinton, Christoph Waltz, Willem Dafoe, Bill Murray, Jeffrey Wright. He's the guy from Westworld, but he's also done a couple other things. Adrian Brody, Rupert Friend, Benicio Del Toro, Owen Wilson. Great cast. It looks really great. It's essentially his love letter to journalists set in an outpost of an American newspaper in a fictional 20th century French city that brings to life a collection of stories published in, quote, the French Dispatch magazine. It's set to release this July, so here's to hoping.
Yeah, there's... Like, they're already talking about some of the June releases, possibly just going straight to, like, the... theater in home thing, which I don't want to pay $20 for a rental.
I really don't. Let's see, what else have you been streaming? What have you seen? that's exceptional. Because I know you were just telling me you just saw a film not too long ago that was from like the early 2000s anime. Tokyo Godfather.
Wow.
Oh, Lord above. Oh, my gosh. I look straight into his eyes. I'm like, anime, you said it. We literally talked about it. Starts with a T. Two words.
Yeah. No, I saw Tokyo Godfathers. All right. So Tokyo Godfathers, they just did a 2020 remaster of the film. So it looks pretty crisp for being so old. It's a movie that was directed by Satoshi Kon. I forgot how good that movie was. I got to see it in the theaters before, you know, they closed those down. It was just a great movie. It's about these three... It doesn't sound like it. But it's about these three homeless people who find a baby that was thrown out in the garbage and just follows them for the next little while in their lives. And it is a magical movie that is very absurd and kind of runs along of, oh, what a coincidence this happened for you right now. That's like the theme of the movie. It's a great movie. And I'm really surprised you haven't seen it, Eddie.
So, directed by Satoshi Kon.
Like I said.
I've only seen a few of his movies. I've seen Millennium Actress. I've seen JoJo's Bizarre Adventure. I've seen Paranoia Agent.
I just rewatched Paranoia Agent. It's amazing.
Yeah, we mentioned it the other day, and because we mentioned it, I was like, I haven't seen that in a while, but I want to see that.
It was one of those things where I was like hoping it would make more sense to me now than it did when I was younger.
Yeah.
Also, you mentioned Paprika. Freaking love Paprika.
I was just going to say.
Such a good movie.
I mean, everybody's at least heard about it once in their life. If they're an anime fan, Paprika is one of those ones that you're like, oh, yeah, everybody's seen Paprika. He's not a stranger to the world of beautiful anime, Japanese anime. Unfortunately, he's no longer with us, but.
Really sad.
His works are remarkable. Like, he really works more in where Miyazaki works more in the mindset of creating a whimsical and almost fairy tale esque style cinematography.
Mm-hmm.
Satoshi works more in creating realism out of his animation because he's also an animator, which is incredible. He's a writer. He's an animator and he's an artist. He's also a director, obviously, because of these movies. You know, and you put all those into consideration, and this guy was just doing things that was so beyond most of the people at the time. So it's one of those films that I know I've heard of, but I never got a chance to see it. And now that you've mentioned it, I'm pretty much gonna wanna see it.
Like, they've got to be, like, doing, like, a re-release of it. Like, they're not going to just remaster it for theaters and then do nothing with it. I'm totally buying it when it comes out.
Yeah, if it comes out.
When people can make money, they will always try to.
I think one of the obvious things that a lot of people are doing right now is watching trilogies and, like, franchise films. Obviously, the more commonplace ones, people are probably watching like the Marvel films and whatnot.
Yep.
And that's all fine and dandy. However, I'm more of a unique connoisseur of certain types of films. And I've actually seen in the last 2 weeks, I've seen Critters 1 and 2. Now, if you don't know what a critter is, Critters is it's a film about these aliens that break out of this prison on this faraway planet, and they commandeer a ship and make their way for Earth. So now that I'm thinking about it, it really does sound a lot like Lilo and Stitch. But either way, the government dispatches these two bounty hunters to go after and find them before they populate and destroy all life on Earth. So, the Critters, it's essentially a comedic horror film back from the mid-80s, I believe 1986. It's really ridiculous because they're like porcupines on steroids, essentially. Their barbs have venom on them, and they knock you out, and they make you woozy, and they eat, like, vicious, you know, malnourished creatures. Like, they destroy whole cattle and whatnot, and they get huge. So, I've seen one and two. I was hoping to see the second one. I don't have the second one. Oh, by the way, I actually have both of these on my Voodoo. And I'm very proud of that. One and two take place in the same small town with the same little boy. Part three, however, for those of you who don't know, part three actually has the illustrious appearance of one Leonardo DiCaprio. So you can't go wrong there. But yeah, what else have you seen?
Even though you're just dissing them, I went and saw Black Panther again with my mom. So she had never seen it before, so that was actually nice to go back to Wakanda with her.
Okay.
No, that's...
That, you know, it's funny, if I were to have said that, like, oh, it's good that you and your mom went back to... That would
well,
just
yeah,
would,
that's why I can say things you can't.
Oh, my God.
No, Black Panther is a Marvel movie. Talk about the titular Black Panther. That one is just still one of my favorite Marvel movies, just because they put so much work into that movie overall with the music and the outfits people were wearing. And I know we talked about it like a long time ago, but it still like holds up.
I'm a looking.
He's still looking it up. Yeah, the performances just from everyone were just amazing, and it's still one of my favorite Marvel movies, actually.
Well, because I remember when we talked about it, by the way, lesson 100, Black Panther.
That was 100?
Mm-hmm. Oh. When we talked about it, I mean, it was a very moving conversation for you. I mean, it wasn't just a simple,
no, we don't
like...
need to get back home to that.
Well, I mean, because it meant something, and I
yes,
mean...
Yes, it did. It still does.
Oh, my gosh. I mean, it was one of those instances where, you know, I get choked up in films, and I get choked up when certain instances occur, and I'm caught up in the throng of, you know, what is going on in the film itself. And, you know, it's one of those things where you can't really negate, you know, what is happening with creating a movie like that. And Black Panther is one of those movies where you're like, oh my gosh, they actually finally went and did it. Mm-hmm. And you have to appreciate, you know, all the way from, you know, the filmmaker directed Ryan Coogler, yeah, to a great ensemble cast. You know, you had everything in it that you wanted to see from a film that honors that culture and heritage and really stretches beyond what people are used to when it came to seeing superhero films.
Yeah.
You know, this was not a movie that told a origin story. This was a movie that stretched beyond that and created a hero out of a man who is just doing his duty to take care of his people.
Right.
You know, at the base of it all. It wasn't like, oh, my parents died, now I need to go and, you know, fight Gotham. Or it wasn't like, oh my gosh, I got bit by this. Or, you know, oh, I crash landed on here. Or, you know, it wasn't any of those things. It was just a man given this birthright to continue to serve the people and do what is right in their eyes. And, you know, with that, you can't really think, well, that's stupid. Like, you can't think, like, there's no way in the world you can see that and say, oh, that's missing something. That's lacking. Because it didn't lack. It was absolutely superb. And, mind you, it's not the best Marvel film, but it's certainly in the top list.
Yeah.
You know, by far.
Yeah, I mean, there's the only thing I would ever change for that movie is like the CGI fight near the end of it.
Well, like, I mean, but with what they had and what they were doing, I don't know. I'm not one to judge.
Yeah.
I have been on a big kick lately of classic films. And I've been, so going back, I didn't just stop in the 80s. That time machine went all the way back. And I ended up rewatching some of my favorite Humphrey Bogart movies.
Okay.
I'm a huge Humphrey Bogart fan. I love some of his classic films. Obviously, Casablanca is on that list. I saw Casablanca. I saw Dark Passage. But the one that I absolutely adore, and I saw it, and I almost saw it twice if it wasn't so long. My God, is it long? It's almost like, it's almost 2 hours. But it's called The Big Sleep. And The Big Sleep is essentially, Humphrey Bogart plays a private detective who takes on a case of a man. He's a rich guy who's getting blackmailed. So let me read you the synopsis. It says here, L.A. private eye Philip Marlowe takes on a blackmail case and a trail peopled with murderers, pornographers, nightclub rogues, the spoiled rich, and more. Humphrey Bogart plays Raymond Chandler's legendary gumshoe, and director Howard Hawks serves up snappy character encounters, particularly involving Lauren Bacall, brisk pace, and atmosphere galore in the certified classic. This movie, oh my gosh. If ever there were like twists and turns in a mystery film, in a murder mystery, this is one of those movies that you're like, oh my gosh, like this guy had to deal with it all between women who just tease. And mind you, Humphrey Bogart, that man is like a male tease. He's a big tease to some of these ladies. Like, that was like the original OG. Like, this guy could woo a woman and then turn on a dime, leaving her wanting more. Like, this guy was the epitome of cool. And him in this movie and Lauren Bacall, which they've done a few films together, including both Dark Passage and The Big Sleep. They were both in that. Just great, exceptional movies. The mentality of these films, the era that just oozes with this noir style. It's completely within Humphrey Bogart's wheelhouse, and I absolutely love it. I mean, you saw what Knives Out did. This is one of those movies that I'm like, I love it. I love it, and I'll watch it over and over again. Yeah.
That's so.
What else have you been watching, Spencer? What's something that you would? What is something that you would recommend if somebody was asking you? I need something to watch. I'm kind of on a strict quarantine, and I need something to watch. You know, what would you suggest?
Okay. So this is on my to watch list. I have watched it before, but I'd like to see it again. I also have Stars now, so they have Dragon Ball Super Broly on there.
Oh my gosh! Okay,
I love that one. That was a good one. They finally brought Broly into the canon. So that's pretty nice.
I mean, you say that, but then, I mean, just because it's in the movie, does it really mean it's canon? I think you learned that lesson with, okay. You know, My Hero Academia.
Here's the thing. They're just idiots over there at Filmation.
Oh, my God.
Like, that is my takeaway from this.
Lesson 209, listen into My Hero, the review we did of My Hero Academia, Heroes Rising, the film that was in theaters. Spencer was irate, nevertheless.
No, here's the lesson. Don't trust any movie company, ever. They're like, oh, ever. Hey, our movie is about this. No, it's not. It's probably not.
Is that so?
Yeah. Looking at you, Disney, I still don't trust your trailers. I will mention it every episode.
Wow. Well, I mean... you're ridiculous.
I'm ridiculous? They edited out... how many stones he had in his hand.
Yeah, but, I mean, you still paid and went to go see the movie.
Yes. I didn't know they had lied to me.
And they had
then.
Done it before that time, too.
I didn't know they had
lied. And then you actually went and paid to see its sequel, knowing full well that it lied to you in the first one.
Yeah, but, like, I didn't trust any of the trailers then. I made my own judgments on the trajectory of the movie based on previous performance.
So you're planning to see the Broly movie now that you have Stars?
Yes.
Okay. What else are you planning to see?
So now I've just flooded my list with like a whole bunch of movies that I probably should have seen at some point but haven't.
Oh yeah?
Yeah. Like what? 16 Candles.
Oh my gosh.
What? It's one of those ones that everyone talks about.
It's like a John Hughes classic.
Yes.
So you're actually planning to watch this?
It's in my playlist. Like, look, right there, 16 Candles.
Oh, I see it. I see it. Doesn't mean that you'll actually watch it.
You don't know.
Oh, really? Oh, really? What else are you planning to watch on that streaming list? So give me your top five.
On this one, there's like only six movies on this list right now.
Okay, give me your top three movies that you're looking forward to streaming, whether this upcoming week or next week.
Okay, so it's 16 Candles.
16 Candles.
Right. Dragon Ball Super Broly.
Mm-hmm.
And then I kind of wanted to see Searching because someone we were talking to recently told me that that was actually a pretty good movie.
Yeah, we have a friend in L.A., Laura. I think I had mentioned it to you. Laura had stated that it was a really great movie and that we should get a chance to watch it. So that might have been who you may have been mentioning. So those are the ones that you're planning to stream and watch.
Yeah.
Okay. I think for me,
mm-hmm.
Let me see. I know for sure some of the ones that I want to see. So I know what I am intending to see within the next week. I plan to see The Shining and Dr. Sleep back to back.
Ooh.
So I ended up getting that recently and I'm going to stream it. Because it looks really good. And I mean, you can't go wrong with that, really. You know, it just looks fun. And I like those movies. I like the way those movies work. It looks fun. So, and I'm going to have a good time.
Yeah. I remember Dr. Sleep being a really good one.
Dr. Sleep was a really great one.
Surprisingly, for there being such a long gap.
True. And mind you, it's not to say that the films, you know, they're like, oh, they need each other, blah, blah, blah. Like the films are like bread and butter, that they match perfectly. No, they don't match perfectly. However, they do complement each other. And that's really a great, you know, mindset to have for these films. Another film or another thing I'm going to be streaming as of late, I want to see, and I'm trying to find it. There's a documentary on Netflix that I want to check out. And I'm trying to find it. Oh, here it is. Tiger King, Murder, Mayhem, and Madness.
What? What is this?
A zoo owner spirals out of control amid a cast of eccentric characters in this true murder-for-hire story from the underworld of big cat breeding. This is a 7-episode documentary, and it's released on Netflix, and I have to see it because... Well, yeah, if you didn't get excited just hearing that, I mean, I don't know what else to say.
That's insane. I don't even know how to process what I just heard.
I want to see it. and I'm going to see it. That's something I'm actually going to start streaming tonight. I don't even feel bad about it. I plan to see that. So if you're somebody who likes interesting documentaries, this is one of those times where you're definitely going to want to check that out. And lastly, I know that there's a film on Netflix that I want to see, but it's a little bit older. It's by Agatha Christie. And it's an old film. Mind you, yes, there's a lot of controversy based on what it was originally titled back in 1939. However, it was renamed twice. Once in 1940. With the title of And Then There Was None. There Were None. And then in 1986, it was under the title of 10 Little Indians. So it's on... it's on the Amazon watch list. It's on my Amazon watch list. No, I take that back. I actually bought it because it looks like it's a really interesting mystery film. And the book itself.
Yeah, the real mystery is how did it go from one title to the next.
We're gonna avoid that question. The book is actually the world's best-selling mystery novel, and it has like over 100 million copies sold, and it's known to be one of the best-selling books of all time. Publications International lists the novel as the 6th best-selling title. So that's
because I'm looking this up. It was first called, and then there were none, and then it switched to 10 Little Indians?
Yeah, there's a title for it before.
What?
Spencer.
It's happening. Oh, no. So,
that's
even worse.
That's kind of why I was avoiding this conversation.
Just be prepared to be disappointed.
Now, mind you, it's based on a nursery rhyme. But I
don't want to know how that goes because I can assume.
We're not going to go into that. But either way, the film is based on the book of the same name and of the 10 Little Indians. And so I ended up getting it, and I've been meaning to watch it and stream it because it looks so interesting. And with it being one of the most best-selling books of all time, I mean, I want to read the book first, but I don't have a copy. And I'm not about to go and walk into a bookstore where everybody has thumbed through every book on the shelf. So I'm going to look for the ebook or the Audible version and then watch the movie, which I have no problem doing because I'll do that. I got a free credit from Audible.
Great.
Watch me outside. How about that?
Okay.
But I mean, here's the thing. With all the suggestions we're giving, I want to know, let us know what you are streaming. What are you watching? Drop us a line on our Facebook page or our Instagram or our Twitter page where this is posted and let us know what is it that you guys are streaming? What are you guys watching? Because Lord knows, I think right now, as much of a time as any other time, we need to keep those lines of communication open. We need to keep talking. We need to keep letting each other know it's going to be all right. Everything's going to work out. And mind you, that's just the nature of like how this current situation is, you know? I don't think there's really any other way to put it other than just, you know, keep your heads up because a lot's going on in the world. And mm-hmm. with movies being available and TV shows, we didn't even get into TV shows, but you were mentioning like Picard. The season finale of Picard is coming up.
Also, CBS made that free to watch for everyone on their platform. So if you were even mildly interested, you apparently don't have to pay now.
Well, there you go. TV shows, Amazon Prime, Hulu. I've been a fanatic lately on Steven Universe Future. They're short 13-minute episodes, but... Have you ever seen Steven Universe?
Cookie Cat! That's literally the only one I've seen.
Oh my gosh. Like, Steven Universe. So, I'm going to be quite honest. Steven Universe at first seemed like a kid thing to me. I was like, I'm not really, you know, Cartoon Network and me don't really mix well ever since they axed Toonami. I'm not, you know, their closest friend. And at the bequest of a friend and their kid, they were like, oh, you should watch it. You should really, really watch it. And I think I saw the first season alone in my room, and I don't think I had cried that much for a cartoon in a long while, since probably like Land Before Time. Steven Universe is a very universal type cartoon that translates across both adults and kids. And if you have a heart... And you're willing to give anything a try. Steven Universe is one of those shows that will surprise you. Yes, it is a kids show. Its general demographic is geared for kids. But some of the content that you understand and you grasp out of it, you're like, oh my gosh. Like, I can be okay while not being okay. Like, I don't have to be something else more than just what I want to be so you can accept me. I don't need to be what, like, oh my gosh. Honestly, Spencer, you need to watch it. But
well, I don't know if I'll have the time.
I'm so busy. Oh my gosh. Well, I mean, with all your several trips clear across the other side of the city and doing whatever. No, you'll make time.
What do you think you're doing?
And then so you got Steven Universe Future, which takes place after the season and the end movie that came out at the end of it.
So in the future.
Not so much in the future. It's just what's happening after the aftermath of the whole battle that happens
which
at the end
the
of the
future,
season.
If you really think about it.
Whatever, Spence. But this series has got me like all twisted up in my feelings. And yeah. So.
Okay.
But yeah, that one's a great one that you really want to stream. So, you guys out there, anyone who's listening to this, if you're a fan of us, if you follow us, let us know. We're going to put this episode and we're going to pin it to the top on our Facebook page. I'm going to make sure to make a post about this on Instagram as well as Twitter. What are you watching right now? What are you streaming? What are you? What are some of the things that you're, you know, looking forward to watch or you have watched? We need to create this community here to where we can talk to each other and let each other know not only are we watching some of the same things or we're watching all this other stuff, but we're doing it together, you know, and it gives an opportunity to create community. And that's what we need right now, because to be quite honest, the world is a little scary.
Yeah.
And as much as there is to fear, there's also much to celebrate with, you know, an opportunity to create those communities, create those moments where, you know what, we can come together, if not for anything else, other than to come together and say, oh my gosh, Bloodshot was trash. You know, if
please
all...
Please don't play 20 bucks words.
Yeah. If all we can do is offer everybody an opportunity to, in all, in one voice, in unison, say, Vin Diesel needs to retire, then we can give you that platform. Whether if it's on our Facebook page, Instagram, Twitter, whatever it may be. We're here. And we're not going to stop recording. This is going to be, until further notice, this is our last week in this studio. However, we still have Studio B that we'll be recording out of. And we're still going to be bringing you the stuff. And we're going to try to get in more episodes. We're going to try to get in more opportunities to connect. Because here's the thing. We are here for you. We are here to be, if anything else, a voice that fills your car or fills your ears while you're doing homework or lets you have something to listen to while you know, we're lollygagging and moaning and groaning about whatever. We are here for you. And yeah, we just don't want you to forget that. You know?
Yeah.
So for everybody out there, just know we're praying for you, sending out positive vibes, and just letting you know that, you know, from all of us here at the Filmlosophers, we love you. So,
yeah. Also, wash your hands.
And wash your hands. So, from all of us here at the Filmlosophers, I'm Eddie.
I'm Spence.
Class dismissed.